Blog Hi, welcome to Awakenings. I'm Michelle Mache. That bit of music that you were listening to was Elements of Grace by Diane Garris. And by the way, we do on Awakenings, we have a lot of times artists, musicians that send us music. And we love playing that. We love highlighting people that are living consciously, living awake, and sharing that in their artistic forms and mediums. And as those of you know that Awakenings hosts dialogues and interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors and conscious beings, and people of all walks of life that are awakening or are awake and living this, you know, integrating this into their everyday lives. Awakenings is a bridging point between science, spirituality, and it's a place for guidance, support, in a way that guides you through the shifts and changes of this evolutionary process, ascension, and soul alignment. So we're here to connect in. We're here to share our gifts, our talents, our insight, and our understanding, as well as assist others. Those of you that would love to call in, we love questions, we love feedback, and we want to hear from you how your awakening journey is taking place. How is your awakening journey unfolding? So if you would like to call in with any feedback or insight, you can call in at 347-539-5122. I also want to say hello to those that are streaming from other podcast stations as well as CosmicDimensions.com. Say hello to Richard there and all the listeners. And we do listen, by the way, to the feedback, and I'm very open to guests that you would like to have on. We had a couple people that had requested Dr. Lynn Boutros to be on, and she will be on in March and also doing readings. Those of you that may have listened to her before, she's a medical intuitive, as well as works with a emotional repatterning. So she is also going to be on again, which I'm really excited about that. And so we do listen. We do listen here at Awakenings. We're very open to that. In fact, she's going to be on, if you want to mark calendars, March 18th. And we're going to be talking about Your Soul is Talking, Are You Listening? And she's going to do some emotional and spiritual readings. So I'm really excited about all the guests that are coming on. And actually, David McCready will be back on doing some energetic exercises and meditations also. So that'll be fun. So we're getting quite a wonderful group here, wonderful, amazing group of connected beings that really are wanting to share what their path is about, and that's really what we're all meant to do. You know, our own unfolding is so important. I think sometimes we forget that our own inner wisdom from our own life experience is really important. And you never know who needs to hear your story. You know, that's why I'm really big on Awakenings. You know, my guidance has said this, but also me personally, I'm a little Michelle on the ego personality level, that I really do love having people of all walks of life, and even people that are perhaps, you know, not authored and haven't penned anything, but are living in this awakened state and wanting to share their understanding. Because you just never know who you're going to impact, and you never know where. I mean, you can be at the gas station. You could be, you know, at the airport. You could be sitting next to someone on a plane. You could be, you know, in the loo, in the bathroom somewhere, you know, the grocery store, walking down the street. You just don't know. At Little League, you know, you just don't know where your voice of spirit and understanding from having walked the path consciously, where that's going to show up, where you have to hold that sacred healing space for someone. Or just even by your own reflection of just you being you. And that's also one of the things that we seem to be in this unfolding path coming to that conclusion. There's a wonderful awareness that's coming through to more of the mainstream or race consciousness, meaning it's getting out there more, is that on so many levels there's not so much to do. It's really about being, just being you, just accessing, integrating your gifts, your talents, your joy, just coming more and more from that perspective in your life is really where we're going from. We were really moving out of that consciousness of self-sacrifice into making sacred, making your life sacred, making your journey sacred. We're really moving out of that time of either or, I can only do this or that. We're moving into that space of spirit and soul where it's and. Also, I can do this and that. I can do this and also that. So watch where you're overly limiting yourself in your life. If you're feeling a lot of either-or situations, that means that you're coming more from the ego personality that's been programmed. Remember, we're reprogramming the ego personality. We're updating, if you will, our software. And so a lot of things that have to do with belief, that have to do with mental constructs are changing. We're deconstructing the mental constructs to bring in more of the awakened and aware information. Now, what's interesting, this awakened or information comes from the advanced thinking. It comes from the place of the higher mind. It doesn't come from the place of the ego mind. But yet we need to use the conscious, rational mind. It's like a hallway or doorway to get into the realms of the transpersonal, the transcendent. So the transpersonal is going beyond the personal. It's where we're going into the collective. We're going into the astral realm, the Akashic realm. We're going into the realm of the collective soul. So beyond the personal. But then we have to bring it back into the personal because that, guess what, everyone? That's the gig we signed up for. That's what we're all doing here. You're also going to find, which I am so glad, because I had this realization about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. It was another one of my awakenings and aha kind of moments. And, of course, and then I started working with some more advanced teachers that confirmed this, that we're not so much here for learning lessons. We're here for self-expression. We're here to express the all that is, that innate intelligence that we are. We're here to express our piece of the resonant field that we are. We're here to recognize that we are all one. We are this pranic life force, light energy. We are this field, you know, if you will. We are the collective soul. We are God expressing as us through us, whatever belief system you have. Yet we individuated out from a vibrational frequency. We all have a certain tone. And it's wonderful if you all, and a note, if you can find your note or your tone. And sometimes you can just do it even by going up the scales, you know, A-E-I-O, or just toning an ohm. If you tone an ohm, if you get very relaxed, get in a meditative state, and you tone an ohm, you will see where the vibrational frequency pitch matches your resonant feeling. You'll feel very relaxed, very expansive, yet very grounded. Sometimes some people I've heard feel kind of tingly. You'll just feel something about the certain tone or note that is hit. Some people have a few resonant tones or a few notes that fit together. But what does this mean? This means that from the vibrational frequency of the all that is, that vibration created a certain form. The first form was light. So basically, all of us come from this sound. That's why word is so powerful. We come from a sensing, feeling, persona, or perception. In other words, that it's a tangible feeling, which is what the subtle energy is. But that subtle energy has a quality to it, has a wavelength to it, has a vibrational frequency to it. And that's why you're going to find we're moving more and more into vibrational healing, vibrational medicine, if you will. You're going to see more connection and more awareness and more in the mainstream of sacred geometry and finding what is the tone or the note for you. Also, it can be expressed in spectrum of light. This is why laser healing a lot of times works, or color therapy. So you're going to find that you're going to be using more of that as opposed to the mental realm or the mental construct, although we do need to start there. Got some great feedback also in the chat room I want to connect with. Sylvia is saying that all your vowels in your name and sing them. To use all the vowels in your name and sing them. That's another way to celebrate you too. And then Grand Elf is talking about all tones have different octaves. Yes, and Gary Moore is saying these tones will have more importance. I just got total major goosebumps on that. Yes, they are going to have more importance as we decode more. See, as we begin to recognize and realize that we are patterns, we're condensed energy. Okay, but a form of the energy obviously is light. You feel heat from a light. You get energized by light, right? That's what light therapy is. A lot of people get energized. Sometimes too much light can kind of zap you out, like laying in the sun. But yeah, we're realizing there's a recognition that's happening, that's getting more in the mainstream consciousness, that we are this consciousness manifested. Well, what does that mean? That consciousness manifested means that there's a denser energy, a slowed down energy or frequency of energy that creates that which seems solid. So it's perhaps slower moving or appears to be slower moving. And then you have the thought forms, which are also energy. You know, mental constructs, belief systems, you know, ideas are also just energy. You know, if you think of what you had for breakfast today, if you recall that in your mind, you will see a mental image picture. Well, that mental image picture has a vibration and a frequency to it. It can be measured. There are instruments that can measure this. This is one thing that also radionics looks at. So if you have disharmonic mental image pictures, you can be, because that mental image picture is holding not only a vibrational frequency to it, it's holding a feeling to it. So you can begin to change your mental image pictures, your mental constructs, by feeling differently, by focusing on the feeling. And in the feeling will begin to shift the mental construct or the mental image picture. And, you know, we've seen studies of this when you get people in a room And you show them different images or different pictures. A lot of times they do this with people, you know, individually. And they'll maybe do 20, 30, maybe 100 people, you know, at a time, at the same time, but in different rooms where they're showing them certain images on a screen and they're responding to those images because those images are bringing up a certain feeling, right? And a lot of times why they do them collectively but in individual rooms is because they're also noticing that people are having the same or similar, sometimes exactly the same response to those images. So there definitely are certain images that trigger us to feel a certain way. Some are more life-enhancing, obviously, and some are less life-enhancing or, you know, some people may say negative. This is why things like alpha theta healing, hypnotherapy, anything that's working with the images, but then eventually or subsequently the feelings that are attached to those images or the emotions, the emotional states that are attached to those images. Eventually people will recognize and realize you have to clear to the feeling level, the emotional level, and then to the feeling sensing level, that the picture is already late on the chain. It's already an extended manifestation. It's already form. Once you have a mental image picture, that's a part of form. That's a denser part of form. And then, of course, the next densest would be more of a tangible manifestation which you can hold. You know, so that's why a lot of times it said, you know, we are an idea in the mind of God, or the all that is, if you will, whatever term you want to use. So, but before the idea comes the feeling. And think about this. You guys can test this out, actually. Before you get a great idea or you have a flash of insight, you have a feeling about it. You can feel that flash if you really think about it. You know, you can. There's always a feeling that something shifts within you. Breath of fresh air, sigh of relief, whatever you want to call it. When you've been working on a problem or an issue in your life, you get to a point where you go, I feel different. Something's going to happen. And then, woof, there it is. That insight comes in, or that magical helper to help you, somebody that you meet in your life, or the situation shifts. So if you can remember that it's, yes, it's our beliefs, and we want to work with shifting those or updating those. But if you can get the emotions more smoothly running, if you can get the stuck emotions unstuck and get your energy pattern moving, you know, get in alignment with your own energy pattern, your own energy force, get to the feeling, the sensing, the feeling tone, if you will, of feeling more fulfilled or life enhanced, then you will automatically start creating pictures, i.e. beliefs, that resonate to that new feeling tone. See, so it's just a little bit of a shortcut, and you're going to see that there will be more of this where people are starting to work more with, well, let's shift the feeling. Let's shift the energy pattern of this. Let's move this stuck energy. Let's get to the feeling of how you want to feel. So another way to look at it is not to overly focus on perhaps the written word or spoken word or the belief system. You know, that has to be shifted or updated too, but eventually you need to get into that releasing the emotions, allowing the emotions to free flow, and getting into that sensing. And also, of course, clearing this on a more subconscious level, or using the creative unconscious as opposed to the little mind or the local mind. Moving in this direction, I feel very blessed and very tickled, because to me, this new direction that is becoming more mainstream is really about setting people free. It's about them connecting to that transcendent part of themselves, or that transpersonal part of themselves that already have the answers, already knows what to do. That's the part that we want to connect in. And Tammy in the chat is talking about harmonic resonance. Yes. Yes. And then a ghost grand elf, release those minor tone people. Yes, yes, that's it. And even just toning with your voice, even just singing, singing your song, so to speak, more, begins to dislodge. This is why kirtan works, chanting, this is why mantra meditations work. Chanting those higher vibrational or more expanded vibrational words tends to dislodge those emotional stuck states. You begin to get the energy moving. And what does that do? That brings in more vitality. That brings in more life force. And then you are resonating to that clearer tone. And I find it exciting and tickling, because this means that more and more people are going to be resonating with the transcendent or the transpersonal and expanding, breathing in. We have more breathing room. And what does that mean? Breath comes from inspirar in Latin, to be inspired. You breathe in that inspirational breath. I used to say God would breathe on you, which we are God, so all that is. So as you move into that tone, that feeling tone of joy, of connectedness, of transcendence, the transpersonal, you begin to feel more joy, more creative, and more fulfilled. And then, of course, that just gets funneled into your everyday living. So great again to see everyone, and I just want to reiterate, if you would like to call in with questions or comments on your path of unfolding and how this wonderful tone that you are, this beautiful tone that you are, is resonating in your life, you can call in at 347-539-5122. Today we have a wonderful being, wonderful author on, Liz Coslin, who wrote the book Transcendental Sojourn. And I think it's going to be very interesting because she's really dived into that question of who is God, where is God, where is the power, those questions. And the idea was that Liz had had a near-death experience in 2001, and her outlook in her life completely changed. She had to look at her life differently, and in her own words, she began a transcendental sojourn. So we're going to bring Liz on. Hi, Liz.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Pretty good, thank you, and it's a joy to listen to you. So
I really enjoyed
your first 15 or so minutes here.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah, it's fitting right in, too, as you had this transcendental sojourn that, you know, well, you took the opportunity, obviously, you know, with your near-death experience to take this kind of journey, which is very courageous, you know. To say the least. Now, you know, and I say that because it's strong, courageous also coming, meaning kuros, coming from the heart. So both. I mean, it's very heartfelt, but very requires a lot of strength to do that, you know. How did you embark upon this? Because I want you to also to share a little bit about the near-death experience, but how did you decide to look at this differently?
Because life is so precious, and actually, first may I say that people do not have to go through a near-death experience to do that.
Yes, that's right.
And sometimes, you know, things happen out of the blue like that, that you can either ignore or you can embrace. And what's great is that I had the privilege of embracing this. And it's interesting that you say it's scary because it at first it is very scary because what's going to happen is you're going to look at you. And when you do that, when you actually 100% look at yourself, you're going to have to look at the things you don't like also. So that is what's the scary part about it. Looking in the mirror face-to-face with yourself. And yet, it is probably the most freeing thing to do also. It's just you have to get past the fear first. So that is probably the thing that I would imagine stopped me all along. We can often, if even being impolite, we'll take a little thing, well, it's not so little, but say you're impolite one day, you can just throw that aside and say, you know, oh, well, I was impolite, I won't think about it again. Mm-hmm. However, that energy going out will come back to you. It will absolutely come around and come right back like a boomerang. It will come back someday. Mm-hmm. So looking at those things and being aware of that part of you that you may not want to look at allows you to let it go and to change how you're actually going to be. And that's why the book Transcendental Sojourn really means an absolute changing journey is really what that title means. And it's been absolutely fantastic. It's been amazing for every time I look at myself, some other opportunity comes along, and every time I think about what I want my life to be, another opportunity comes along, and it's just begins this cycle of being open to the world, and regarding the world, it is just an amazing place, and now I've changed from saying I. In my talking, I usually say you are amazing, and you are fantastic, and you should be very proud of your life because you have done so many amazing things. Give yourself credit. And
I like that. You know, I did a hypnotherapy MP3 for me recently on some stuff, because I like my work, so I do it for others and also for myself. But I put that also in there, Liz. I said, Michelle, you're doing a great job. Michelle, you're doing great. You are. I thought, you know what? I better put that in too. You know, it's every now and then, I think we have to take that inventory. I think we don't celebrate ourselves enough, and something in our culture, you know, this over kind of playing small, I think Marianne Williamson, or I don't know if it's her, Nelson Mandela, whoever wrote it, you know, we're afraid mm-hmm. of our light more than our, you know, fear or dark, whatever the saying is. But I think, don't you, you know, little kids do that. Little kids, look what I made, or look what I did. This is fun. And somewhere along the line, we kind of get that, you know, crushed out of us a little bit, you know. I like what you're saying. I think it's, you have to embrace your path and what you've done and acknowledge yourself and validate what you've done.
Well, you're one of the most beautiful creatures there are on this earth. I mean, one of the, with so much power inside, which so much energy inside, as you had said, and it affects not only you, but everyone around you. And that is mm-hmm. incredible. It's almost like we don't want to admit that mm-hmm. because
yeah.
it's like, oh, geez, if I'm really that powerful, what am I going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's...
Do you think that's what it is? Like, is it not stepping into that power? Is that...
Is that scary? I think it's a little bit of, if I admit that I do affect this world and I do have all this power, doesn't that put too much responsibility on me? You know, doesn't mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. wow, I mean, I'm going to have to, like, shine, and I'm going to have to, like, get awards, and I'm going to have to, like, change the world. And what's interesting is everything you do changes the world. Everything, mm-hmm. every day. And if you're going to make that on the dark side, it will change the world to dark. And if you're going to put it on the light side, it will change the world to light. And that's what I mean about not understanding that this is our world. It can be whatever we want it to be. And we can go the same direction together, but not be the same. And I think that gets fuzzy a lot of times, like, you know, society or laws or whatever you want to say tells us that we have to be a certain way. That isn't mm-hmm. true. You have to be what you are meant to be. You have to be the person that has a reason for being here, and the way you find that is that drive within. What makes you excited? What brings passion mm-hmm. into you? What just feels absolutely right? And that's your path. Right there
yeah.
is your path. And we don't pay attention to our insides very much at all. And yet they'll always tell us the right way to go.
Yeah. You do get that feeling, don't you? We really do get those messages. Now, Liz, you said something a little minute ago. You said that the fear had stopped you. How did you get beyond the fear to take this journey and embark upon this path as you did? How did you get over the fear?
That really was when I had the opportunity to take a look and realize how precious it was. Okay, I did go through that near death. But when I realized just how precious life is and just how amazing humans are, the next question was, well, where do you wish to go? Who do you wish to be? And you're going to have to look at yourself. And when I was faced, and I guess it really is emotionally like this, just picture yourself looking at yourself, and you know everything you don't like. You do. There's no one that knows you better.
Yeah.
And it was the question of, are you going to deny it, or are you going to look at it? And I stepped through the fear and said, no, I really want to look at myself. I really want to live fully, and I really want to embrace everything And so take the step. Look at it. Look at the thing. And once I took that step, and I'm going to say I did feel fear, that was just, like I said, just very uplifting. You have the power to change what you want to change, and you have the power to go towards the life you wish, and you have the power to believe the things you wish to believe, and this is your life, yours, no one else's. It is yours, and I know that sounds simple, but that is huge. It doesn't have to be like anybody else.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be compared, and it really isn't allowed to be judged. It really isn't allowed. You are the only one that knows if your life is fulfilling for you, and that is what's been so freeing. It's just incredible freeing. Because even though people may give you advice, you don't have to take it.
But it's true. They don't always, people outside of you don't always know, and ultimately you have to make the decisions for yourself of what is right for you.
Right, but if it resonates, and that's how I view it too, if it resonates inside you, absolutely take the advice. Absolutely go the path. Absolutely talk with that person. Absolutely learn new things, because it will. It's like a bell that goes off. It just absolutely resonates inside you. And on the other side, when all of a sudden something stops you, that is probably not what you should do.
I'm glad you say that. I have found there's very little procrastination, I think, in life. I have found that actually a delay is a form of protection.
Yeah. We always take it as, oh, it didn't work out, or, oh, my goodness, that should have happened, but it didn't. And I view it as it's a redirection.
Yeah.
You were going the wrong way, and now the universe is going to redirect you. Mm. Because the universe is for you. It's for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's for your life. And it will help you fulfill your life if you allow it to. God is that for me. And always will allow you to go the right direction unless you stop yourself. And you are the only one that can stop yourself. And I love this little example, and it's just a little one, but I'll give it to you anyway. It's 3:00 in the morning and you're on a dirt road and you're the only one in a car and there's no traffic anywhere, and you come up to an intersection, there's a red light. But there's no traffic anywhere.
There's no traffic anywhere. Yeah, right.
There's no one out. So what made you stop at that red light? It certainly wasn't the red light.
That's a very... Ooh, Liz. How many of us will stop and then go? Don't say stop. I'm raising my hand right now in case people don't see.
But almost 100% will at least stop.
Yeah.
Even if they saw there was nothing anywhere. So that's like what you said, Michelle. That's like the programming. We're programmed.
Yeah.
And that's just a little example.
Liz, that somebody is saying now, this is very interesting in the chat room. Grand Elf is talking about the red light camera, and then Sandler's talking about the cop at the side of the road. And you know what? But that's true. That still is the programming that we're programmed that something is always going to be there and always going to see. And I think maybe you can speak to this, Liz. We have to know sometimes, are you overly stopping, or are you going to take that little risk and know that, like you said, Liz, no one is there. Nothing's there. There's tumbleweeds. But many people will stop anyway, slow down. But I think that does show that's that programming, it's very insidious. It's very deep.
It is. It's an interesting thing is that from the year that you're born to the year of 18 years old, you will hear the word no, and it's estimated 143,000 times. Now, that's a lot of times you've heard no, and no means stop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So in the early years of your life, you're being programmed to stop. And about people watching, that stops a lot of people. Somebody's watching me, and they're going to do what? We think judge, I guess.
Judge. Yeah, that's what I'm going to judge. Yeah, I'm going to be
judged. They're going to judge. So I'm not going to do it because I know someone's watching somewhere, and I won't do whatever it is because they're going to judge me.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggest flipping it over.
Hmm.
Do your positive act because that person that's watching you may need it the most.
Mm. Wow.
And the reason why they're watching is because something has drawn them to you.
Mm.
So you're stopping yourself. And the other reason is, if that's going to fulfill you, why would you let anybody stop you? This is your life.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you allow society, and I'm not talking about negative energy, I'm talking about positive energy where it fills you and leads you to the life you're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing something else to stop you is really hurting you. So whenever you get to that point where, and there's a difference between being warned of something and doing what fulfills you, and that's why you have to pay such immense attention to your insides.
Mm-hmm.
Because
pay
they
attention.
Will always pay attention and notice what they're telling you. They're always talking to you, all the time they're talking to you. And emotions are great indicators of what's being said.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah, it's interesting. You can. They really. We do have this barometer, and I've been seeing of late. Is that life enhancing or not? Life enhancing or not? And I'm really paying attention to people's words, or even beyond the words, the tone. It's the tone because you can almost feel it energetically pulling you down. You know, you can just feel like this person's like pulling on your shoulders little by little, pulling you down, pulling you down. And then you have less energy for what it is that you want to do or are excited to do in, you know, in your life, whether on the everyday level or maybe some kind of passion or project that you have. I think we have to be really aware. I like what you're saying, Liz, about, you know, we're always getting those signs or those messages. Maybe it's about paying attention to them.
It is, and I call it noticing. Mm-hmm. Noticing what's around you, noticing what's inside of you, and noticing even the opportunities that come about. It is my belief that you will never get an opportunity unless you're ready for it. And what I mean by ready for it is you have to see it, you have to take it in, and then you have to act on it. So you need to be ready for those opportunities, but they will always come around as you take the next step towards your life path. In fact, they will always, I would guarantee they will come along. And some of us, or all of us, I think all of us, have had those situations where you're going along and you're kind of doing what you need to do, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone comes into your life or some opportunity shows up on email or something like that. And it might even be something you didn't think about consciously. Consciously,
yeah. That's the key, consciously.
Yeah, because we all have our dreams, our envisionments, our, you know, where do they come from? They're very individualized for you.
Yeah.
And it isn't because of someone else. You are the one that's envisioning your life, even as a child, even as a young adult. And what you hook on to the most is where you're supposed to go, and those opportunities will come along and get you there unless you don't notice them.
Mm-hmm.
You just say, and not noticing means, okay, someone walks up and says, okay, a relative or whatever, and says, you know, you should probably sail across to Europe with me. And you go, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. But don't you love sailing? Well, yeah, I do. but it's not going to happen because, and that's a big example, but it's not going to happen because, I'm not ready to do that. You know, that you're telling me to live on a boat for a month or something like that. I mean, what will I do when I get there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll never know what you'll do until you get there.
That's right. Well, you know, and that's what I think is following those openings. People have to learn to fall in, like what you said, the noticing. If you're noticing, you see where those openings are.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's an opening, you know, true opening, there'll be the steps there. There'll be a bridge. There'll be something on the other. There'll be something there for you to do, obviously, because it's opening for you. That potential, that possibility is
right.
Being co-created, right, for you.
And what's interesting is, you know, we often say people have to be a certain way or have to do a certain things, and our world and society has said that often. But if I am climbing the hill and I say, you need to come along, Michelle, you have to come this way, and for some reason you do, okay? You just do because you're being nice to me. You don't want to do it. But you're being nice. And we get to the top of the hill, I will see all these opportunities, and you will not, because it has nothing to do with your life.
Yeah, yeah. Liz, that's a really good point. Wow.
So having anybody go the same direction, you have to listen to the person. What is it that fulfills you?
Mm.
And once you start listening to that, you will see that, oh, they're going to go climb the mountain, and I'm not going with them. But I sure celebrate that they're climbing that mountain. That is amazing. That is just fantastic. But I'm not going there because I have no desire to be on the top of a mountain. And you have to listen to that kind of thing from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we can all go the same direction of, let's say we just pick, living life fully.
Mm-hmm.
We can all go that direction. We will not get there in the same way, and that's okay. That's
mm-hmm.
okay. Because we're still celebrating each other along the way and still celebrating the gifts that each of us has that makes up this amazing world if we don't get stopped.
Mm-hmm. So the key, too, is how to get this more. Obviously, your book and your journey goes into this, but I think at a small age, this what you're speaking of, this noticing, and then, you know, even telling little kids, look, your little friend may not do it the same way you do it, and that's okay. So somehow this message has to get out more, because right now everyone's following somebody's other's blueprint or model, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We just, in fact, one of the greatest things you just said was telling people it's okay to be yourself. In fact, that is immensely beautiful, to
mm-hmm.
live the life you're meant to live. Is incredible that we have missed this for thousands of years. And everyone who goes and follows their own life, very dramatically, like I guess at the time a Van Gogh is crazy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Until we realize he was brilliant.
mm-hmm.
I hope the word crazy is, you know.
Right,
I just
right.
mean that it makes people uncomfortable is really what I mean by that sometimes when you start telling them, no, look in yourself, see how much is there, and if you want to paint amazing pictures and all that stuff, go ahead. You don't have to be a businessman. Go paint it, because that is your contribution to everything. So, I mean, I really admire people who have simply done what fulfills them without paying attention to who's telling them not to do it. And
mm-hmm.
and that's incredible. That's just
so that seems to be the key, that the pay attention. Well, we've got a couple callers. I'm going to see who is on the line. And 903-283, you're on the air. You're on Awakenings.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey,
did you have a
mom.
Question? Or who is it? Oh, hi, Peyton's mom. Did you, how are you?
I'm good. It's been 2 years since my son passed, and I just wanted to tell you that his passing made me get so close to God that I just can't even explain it to how it changed my life.
Mm.
When you go through a grief such as losing a child, it's just incredible that you have to lean on your faith and learn that God has a purpose for everybody's life.
Yeah. How did you come to that conclusion? How did you come to know that God has a purpose for everyone's life?
Well, I'm a Christian, so I have a strong faith, and I'm also a person that doesn't go into denial phase very easily. So immediately when the officers told me there was a fatality, my whole mental state just shut down because I knew it was the truth.
Mm.
And there's no faking it, no denying that he was dead. And so I had to deal with those consequences immediately. And so I just fell on God and had to trust him completely that there was a purpose and a reason for Peyton's life, and that things would be fulfilled in some type of way that would honor him.
Mm. So it sounds like you did, Liz, can you speak to this? Because it sounds like she did that noticing that you were talking about, or that reflection, that reviewing.
Yeah, it's amazing what you've done in making, in realizing that there is purpose to everything. And though we don't understand sometimes, especially when someone dies, that person is not lost. In fact, they still help us along the way, and I know that doesn't ease pain or anything, but in this world, some things will continue to happen, accidents and disease and all those kinds of things, because they just are. They're a part of our world. The world is not perfect, and we'll never be able to stop that fully, but we can celebrate always the lives that we have come in contact or that are part of us, and they always stay part of us. And that's
right.
What's incredible about all of it. And your son has given you strength, and that is just amazing gift.
Well, what I'm having a problem with now is the fact that the way he was killed, and he was a very simplistic person. He even started a nonprofit for building basic housing, going back to very small houses and to the basics of life. And he was only 22 years old when he came up with this concept of building 300 to 700 square foot houses. And we were working together on that when he was killed. And so now that we're in litigation about his life, the company is saying that he's not worth anything because he had a strike of humanity in him and, you know, always wanted to help people. He sold his possessions, and it just really hurts me that they're trying to take away his worth just because he wasn't what the world deems as viable and productive.
Well, I don't know if I understand exactly when you're talking about worth, but no one can take his worth away. You're talking about someone who tried to help others and had a dream to help others, and there is no one ever, anywhere that can take his worth away. He is amazing, and always will be. I'm not sure if you're talking monetarily about.
Yes, that's what they're doing. They're trying to put a number on his life, and they continue bombarding me with, with money. It wasn't worth anything, you know. And I have continued to do his project, his Peyton's project, and we're providing food and water and doing missions and doing all kinds of things to continue his dream. But this is,
excuse me one second, Peyton's mom. I'm going to just interject here because we do have a wonderful comment in the chat. What would you like to see done about this situation?
Oh, I would love for Ford to take responsibility, and so
okay.
I can put some closure to it. Other than that, I mean, I just keep seeing people getting killed.
Yeah.
I drive past a car that's just like the car that, you know, he was killed in. And
yeah.
I have stopped
okay,
people
I'm gonna,
telling them.
Yeah. I'm going to make a suggestion. You know, I'm going to intervene here a little bit. I'm not sure if you're getting grief counseling or bereavement counseling or working with a group, and there's even some that are gratis that do the support for free. I think that
mm-hmm.
would be very, very, very beneficial. And then to start looking online, and I know in the chat you said you did a little bit, you know, maybe even put your contact info through Blog Talk, you know, in my comment stream so
mm-hmm.
that other people can help you. I'm also do bereavement counseling, so that's what I'm saying, get with a group or something. Although, obviously, no monetary amount will be sufficient. But what I would suggest, if you can get with somebody, you know, an attorney, and then I know options were put in the chat room for you, to get something that shows accountability and just always know that whatever is given will never be enough. But just something that you have that accountability, whatever it is, even if you think it's on the low end, and
that's not even what I'm concerned. That I'm not
right.
a greedy woman. I just want them.
Well,
to
no,
show
no, no. I'm not saying no. I'm not saying you are. No, that's.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you are. But then I'm saying just so that you can then begin to move
on.
And I know you said in the chat, right, to do something on a justice end. But. You know,
I want
carry
to be able
on
to continue his project, too, and I can't do that without funds.
Well, I would say, you know, the Internet is a wonderful place to connect with, and if you start putting it out there, you know, in a blog and start emailing people.
I'm
and
doing
connect
that.
With people, okay. so that. It will come. You know, it will come, you know, and put something up so those that are listening today can you know, hear you. Do you have an email address right now or something?
Yes.
Because okay,
so
you want to give that?
I'll write it on the chat room and I can also say it's deliciadawn@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And also we have Peyton's Project website, peytonsproject.org.
Peyton's Project.
And we have a MySpace also.
Okay, peytonsproject.org, and that way people can get in touch with you. Thanks
right.
so much for calling in. Thank you so much for sharing, okay?
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. Take good care. Bye-bye. Okay, we have another caller.
Okay.
Let's see. Sometimes if you click. Hi, you're on the air, I believe. Is this Cody? Hello, you're on Awakenings.
Hello. This is Meryl Streep. Would you like a candy?
Can barely hear you. I think there's a bad connection there. Okay, well, maybe they're just listening. Yeah, that's tough, you know, when you go through something like that. It's very difficult sometimes a long haul to get something accomplished, you know?
It is. I mean, we are going to have absolute pains that affect us in life, and that's life on earth is definitely filled with some things that just occur and some things that we think have no reasons, and sometimes it's very hard to even say, well, I have to find a reason why this happened. Sometimes there will not be a reason. There will be a just is. It just occurs.
Yeah.
And searching for the reason will sometimes really affect you emotionally because it keeps you from accepting that something happened. You know, if I walk out and I break my leg, was there a reason for me breaking my leg?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have run on ice or something like that. But most of the time, it's an accident. I broke my leg.
Yeah.
There's no emotion about it. In fact, you just need to get your medical care. And there's no reason to spend a lot of time on a situation like that, like breaking your leg, and that's just like an example there. And I think also realizing that some things in this world are just going to happen, like a tornado or something like that. I mean, that's our atmosphere, or a hurricane or a major snowstorm. It is now up to us to not find the reason why it happened, but deal with what happened and help each other deal with what happened and uplift each other in what happened and build each other's houses back up and all of that stuff, because that's the amazing life energy that can come out of a disaster or a problem or a situation or all of that stuff. It's deciding I'm never going to stop living. I'm never going to stop living.
Mm. And you bring up a really good point, too, because we always want to know why. And I know a lot of belief systems, a lot of philosophies, a lot of spiritual dogma and doctrine is based upon answering this why. And I think you bring an amazing point. Sometimes it just is. This is what happened, and this is what was to happen. And how for us to wrap our mind around that, you know, and we want to give sense and meaning to something that sometimes doesn't have sense or meaning.
No, it absolutely doesn't have sense or meaning or reason or whatever, and sometimes not even emotion about it. And on the other side, immense emotion that now what are you going to do with it? Because you're not going to answer that question. So now what are you going to do with all this emotion?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in life it's really you need to react. You need to react to what has happened, find the solution, get over the obstacle, and go on with your life. Some people would call those tests. I guess I call them parts of life. There will be obstacles if you see them.
Mm.
But you can always look on the other side of the obstacle, too, and now you just need to get to the other side. It changes your mindset and doesn't stop you.
Mm-hmm. It is like that, like you said earlier, that redirection or redirection of energy.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Now, Liz, can you tell us a little bit of your experience? What the near death experience, the near death, and how you came to write the book from that?
In 2001, it was the day before Easter. And I was on an Easter egg hunt, and I'm just going through kind of, you know, helping kids and search for eggs and things like that. And without any warning whatsoever, I had an aneurysm burst in my head. I didn't know I had it, and most would not know they had it. And it became a subarachnoid hemorrhage, but in one instant, it felt like I got shot in the head. That's how much pain in a split second occurred. My eyesight went blurry. I fell to the ground. I had no, you know, couldn't work my body right. And in
most
an
people
instant,
don't survive an aneurysm.
No, it's only like, and I'm not. Don't quote me here on the statistics today, okay?
Okay, no quote.
But at that time, it was about 7% survive with no residual effects, and 3% survive with some residual effects, meaning you may not have any short-term memory anymore, or your eyesight didn't come back, or whatever it was affecting at the time didn't fully recover.
Mm.
And the odds of that were, I mean, if you had an aneurysm, people basically thought you were pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably pretty much true. So at that time when I had that immense pain, I knew I was dying. There was no question whatsoever in that split second. I knew I was dying. And I have to say that's a very funky feeling. Because what occurred is somewhere between two worlds. I could see them both. I could know exactly what was going on in both. And it wasn't seeing at all. It was feeling and knowing the other world. And it was hearing and blurry vision in this world. And yet there wasn't one thing I was missing in either one. And what it said to me was that world, that energy-filled, loving, complete world is here at all times. It's whether we notice it or not. It isn't like it was once said that heaven is far away in the skies somewhere and you will go there someday. It's right here, parallel to ours, and we can pull strength and energy and positivity, at all times. That's where all the strength and energies and all the stuff comes from. And it's a part of us at all times. And what made me write was, well, you know, I am just awed. And I am, in fact, the next day I woke up. The doctor said I wouldn't. They said I would be in a coma. I would have seizures. They warned my family, you know, she's going to be on a respirator when you go in. She's going to look horrible. I didn't have seizures, and I didn't have convulsions, and I wasn't in a coma. I said hello to my mother the next morning.
Wow. And,
yeah, that's what the surgeon said.
Yeah, a miracle.
And it was a gift. It was a gift that I began to write about, because even though all that happened, you're still figuring it out. You're still finding out what it's all about. You're still thinking things through and feeling what's in your heart. And the writing helped me do that. And when I first did it, there was no thought of getting it published. In fact, it was more of just writing through my own kind of realizations. And it was a friend that said, you have to go publish this. And I'm like, really? I never thought of that.
Yeah, how often get a question in the chat, the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, it's been renamed that. Long after you had this experience, did you feel like writing, or were you drawn to write?
Well, I was in the hospital for, and I did have brain surgery. They had to have emergency brain surgery, and that's why they thought all those things were going to happen to me, because brains hate that, by the way. And
Okay.
They hate it. They don't like to be messed with. Never mess with a brain, because they don't like it. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks because they had to make sure that, you know, it had stopped bleeding even though they operated. And 2 weeks I got home, and it was really about a week or so later that I began to write things down. And I would go to it, go away from it, go back to it, go away from it, because it does take a little while to heal from that also. But it amazed me that I was concentrating, and I almost felt like it wasn't me writing. I just felt like it was helping me figure out everything I needed to know and to really make it concrete in me. And that's it was a beautiful, amazing occurrence to do that. And it's an amazing occurrence. I get up and I say, thank you, God. And I say thank you before anything's happened because I just believe things are going to happen. So I'm sure to thank him right away.
Wow. That's, I mean, what an instrument, being used for an instrument, I'll tell you, you know. It's.
Well, one of the greatest realizations was to thank him when something goes wrong.
What? I didn't get that?
When something feels like it goes wrong, when your initial reaction is that, oh, geez, this didn't work out. What's going on here? It didn't work out. The first thing I do is thank him also. And that was an amazing realization to thank him for something I felt wasn't exactly the right way, believing that that is turning me towards the right way or warning me that that's the wrong way. So, and I have to say that was kind of hard at first. That was something that I had to teach myself to do, and yet I'm glad I did, because it shows trust in the universe. It shows trust in him, and maybe that's the hardest thing, is to just trust it. Your life is amazing. It is on an amazing path. It is incredible. Trust that it's being directed where it should go.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's a synchronicity, Liz, as you're speaking, and someone in the chat, Sylvia, her son at 5 months old passed from an aneurysm, which I didn't know little kids could have them, or that infant, that's not even a little kid.
Yeah, anyone.
So you just don't know. And how long did it take for your recovery?
If you talk medically, they will tell you that it takes 4 to 7 years to where they'll say you are 100%. And that means that the brain is not reacting anymore. Because when a brain is disturbed with blood or something popping, you know, and in my case it was an artery, the best way to say it is that it gets really ticked off. And what it does at that point is, even though you're repaired, it will continue to give you headaches. It will continue to tire you out because it just wants to go to sleep. It will continue to have you feel a little bit off base, balance and stuff like that. So even if you're not getting the huge residual effects medically, until those residuals go away, they don't say you're 100%. Emotionally and spiritually and everything like that, it healed when I woke up that next day.
Did you notice a difference in for yourself? I mean, obviously your life changed, but did you notice a physical, physiological difference to yourself?
Oh, I noticed immense difference when I woke up that day, because I could feel that world and knew it was there. And I'm looking at my family, and they're, you know, spending their few minutes talking to me, because I was, of course, in the ICU. So they were only allowed in one at a time and stuff like that, being told, don't take a lot of time, don't take a lot of time, don't take a lot of time. I mean, they were trying, I guess the nursing was trying not to tire me out. But I could feel just this immense celebration, and that's such a great word that you used. It's a celebration of life, and it's an immense feeling of being loved, an immense feeling of you have things to do. And I could just feel that and know that there was a reason to have all of that happen, all of that. And that's what changed, is shifting that your life of, oh, okay, I'm going through life, and I went to school, and yet that's great that you went to school, but I'm just talking about what people told you to do. You went to school,
yeah.
You got a job, you got a home, you got a dog, and you got a car and everything. And, okay, now that's a great life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you may have missed
yeah.
a ton of things along the way. So it shifted to, no, you have energy and you have immense purpose and you have a reason and you need to follow the path that is for you, and you're now going to write when you didn't, and you're going to write poetry and you didn't, and you're going to you know, speak to people and you didn't do that before, and it's going to feel like full inside you, and it's going to bring joy to you, and you're going to celebrate humanity. And I'll tell you, when you wake up from being out of out of it in some operating room and all that's being said to you, it's like, wait a second, I'm in a hospital room. You know, I'm kind of in a hospital room. Can I wait till tomorrow? And I just mean the overwhelmingness of that. And yet, how amazing. It's just this incredible energy. And it's everywhere. It's just everywhere. We need to notice it, embrace it, and grab hold of it.
Yeah. And on some level, we are this energy.
Yeah.
I think it's perhaps there are certain situations that happen to us that allow us to open more to this energy, you know. And one of the things that we touched upon, Liz, and you succinctly put about the programming, you know, that we're so programmed, you know, the over-programming blocks our access and realization of this energy.
It does, because your brain will always go to the programming first, just like a computer. It has input. It goes to the files that react to that input. It doesn't know if that's correct to do or if it's not correct to do. It just does it because that pathway
mm-hmm.
is the strongest. And we see that in negative situations especially. If a child is told they're no good for their whole life, they will believe they're no good. And
mm-hmm.
that is just incredibly cruel, first of all. And second of all, there's no reason for that child to feel that way. There's no
yeah.
reason at all. You can't even find a reason for that. But what's great is you can reprogram the
yeah.
computer. That's what's amazing. You decide what kind of life you want. You tell yourself that's what you want.
Yeah.
You tell yourself
yeah.
you're great. You tell yourself you're worthwhile. And you keep repeating it, and that old program will die. It will die away or go
yeah,
into
yeah.
the mega files way back in some
right.
computer somewhere.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
You know,
if
you don't what, go ahead.
I'm sorry. If you don't use a program, it becomes out of date. So
mm-hmm.
so that's exactly what you're trying to do with the reprogramming and stuff.
Is create those other programs that are obsolete or not, you to have them just go out.
Yeah, you don't
know,
use
not,
them.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing, that's a really good point. That's one thing that I realized with all this repatterning and reprogramming work is that we only keep what we think is survival or getting us some level of survival or the highest survival. And if something becomes obsolete and is no longer creating that level of survival, or as the Native American tradition, we say, growing corn, you get rid of it, you know. And we do have, like you said earlier, Liz, this noticing. If we have that noticing capability, if we use that every now and then in our life, we can see, oh, that's obsolete, we don't need that. And just, like you say, reprogram, change it, change your mind. You know, say, oh, that, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's, you know, that's not the vision I have anymore for my life. But I think what it takes, and you put this, you so wonderfully put this, we have to notice. We kind of have to stop and take notice or take stock of what we're doing, or like you said earlier, what you know, what you like or don't like.
It's true, and a great exercise is get up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
begin your day, and act like you're watching someone, and
mm.
notice everything you do in that day.
Mm.
Don't try to change it. Don't try
mm-hmm.
to act unnatural. just go into a mode of watching. And you'll notice often that habits are all over the place. They're all over the place. You don't even know why you stopped at that same coffee shop. You don't even want a coffee, but you did it every morning, so you do it again. But why?
Why?
And it's the program. So just notice all of that stuff, and what you're noticing is, wow, I really like this about myself, and maybe I want to change that over there a little bit. Maybe I want to. I'm going to look at that a little bit and see if I want to change that a little bit. And you honor yourself by paying attention and giving yourself time when normally you don't. Normally people don't give themselves the care that they even give to others sometimes. So it's okay to give yourself, and none of this is in conceit or ego or thinking high of yourself in a respect that you're better than anyone else. You think high of yourself because you're an amazing human being. It has nothing to do with others. So there is no judgment there. You're just as happy for them, too. So, and we need to get away of deciding what is right and what is wrong by other standards. It's really about your own life and what fulfills you and brings that joy and has that special feeling inside. And I'm pretty sure anyone knows what I'm talking about. Is it almost feels like filling up. If you had to put a description, if I had to put a description on it.
That you're filling up?
Filling up. Filling up. Inside.
Yeah, filling
up.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Or an immense joy, or feeling right, or just feeling like this is exactly what I should be doing.
Yeah.
Right now, I should be doing this. And and that's amazing. That's incredible. I mean, I right here, right now, I have been so filled and I have been so enriched by being on this radio with you and just getting to talk with you and being a part of the listeners, too. Being a part of the listeners, I may not know their names, but they enrich me anyway because they're there.
Yeah, exactly. You can feel them, right?
I mean, I can feel them.
We all have tingles on us right now.
And that's what I'm talking about, how it matters. They called in, it matters. It absolutely matters. And yes, some people call it the butterfly effect, and some people call it, you know, a single drop in a pool of water. And those will go out and touch everything, and they'll go on forever. And that's true. Your actions are energies that go out and affect things. You may not get to see it. And a great example of that is there are so many times that a word you give to a friend may not seem like it does a lot, but that could actually be a lifeline to them. And what I mean is it gets them to think a little bit, it gets them to change their thinking a little bit, or it simply helps them get over a hurt. And that is incredible. That is such a gift to do. And now you have affected their life, not tried to change it, affected their life. And they took a little bit of your energy into them. And that's what's just amazing.
You know, Liz, as you were speaking and you were saying you could feel the energy of everyone, Tammy was putting in the chat, yes, we show up here. And it's true. Everyone, you know, definitely also the listeners, obviously, on the, you know, the Cosmic Dimensions, iTunes, and other podcast stations, but specifically in this Sacred Empowerment Room, there's such a healing presence that's held by everyone there. And it's palatable. You can feel it that people are really showing up to share their own insight, their own wisdom, as well as hear and learn, get the confirmations from, you know, the awakened guests that we have on. You know, it's a wonderful interplay that we're learning, growing, and sharing, and teaching, and then those are learning, growing, and sharing, and teaching. It's just this wonderful circle, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be great to just realize how all the power, and even the word power gets a negative connotation sometimes.
Yeah.
Connotation, and that's because it's been abused is why it gets that connotation, and that's a shame, and that's probably not true power anyway. That's just stepping on others, so. They call it the wrong name. But when two people love each other, that is a wonderful time to see the energy exchange, because I'm pretty sure that everyone has had that certain someone that you can't get close enough to. Now, bodies will only get so close, okay? That's just the way it is. They will be next to each other. But something else is happening there where it's almost as if two individuals, the souls, are trying to unite with each other. That is pure energy. That is 100% energy. There's nothing else you could call it. And yet they're living beings trying to become a part of each other. The better example is when those two individuals split and there's almost a tearing apart. And that's because, in my belief, the two souls were joined, and since we must take our souls in our bodies, they do have to rip apart. And that is why it hurts so darn bad.
Wow.
In those energies, if your soul is powerful, which I believe it is, and my soul is powerful, and we unite in some kind of cause, and thousands of people also go the same direction, and hundreds of thousands go the same direction, that power would be so intense, and we even saw it in this past presidential election.
Yeah.
So intense that it has to go the direction it's going. It has to go that way. There is no stopping it. And that's what I was trying to say, how powerful human beings are in this world. It's just
maybe most we're waking up to it, right?
I think so. I think that people want to live. I think that people absolutely want to live full lives. And I think for the first time in the history of humanity, really, I'm going to go that far as to say that. For the first time is the chance for everyone to realize it is your right. It is your absolute right to have your life. And it's time for people not to take it away. It's time for people not to say you have to be a certain way. It's time for maybe all the uniting to come around because we all want to live. There isn't a human being, I think, on the planet that can't go that direction. That's what unites us.
Mm.
Not having the same laws. And governments can't do it, and parliaments can't do it, and kings and queens can't do it. The only way it happens is with all of us celebrating all of us. We're the ones that can bring the world we wish to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are that shift, right? We are that
change. We're that shift.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great word, too.
I love that word, shift. The shift. It could go away. You could change one of the letters in there, and it could be a whole different sensation. I think
that's probably as close as it is. It's whether you pick going, you know, towards the shift. You know what I mean?
Exactly. There's a good noticing meditation for everyone. Which letter are you going for? The S or the F?
That's it.
In shift. Which one?
But it does explain it fully. It actually explains. Are you gonna kind of just wander through life and let the world happen to you? Because that's what we've been programmed to do. Or are you going to turn it around and you happen to the world? Mm-hmm. And that is a huge different way of looking at it, because if what you do matters, you pay a lot more attention to it. If you're just going through the world and it all just hands you what you're going to get, there's no responsibility in that. But it's not fulfilling, and it's not uplifting, and it's not what you were meant to do. One way is just almost I'm a victim, and the other way is, no, I have the power to fulfill the life, to find the reasons, to get to all the goals I want to get to. I can do that. So mm-hmm. one is very empowering, and one is taking away the power. Mm-hmm. And it's and very close to what you're saying on shifting it. Shift the looking at it and the feeling about it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, no, and I was just going to say, I think, you know, when so powerful what you were saying again about that, the noticing, and also the, are people taking responsibility or accountability for their power, you know, or empowerment, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe that's what causes the shift, or the one with the S or the one with the F, you know. Someone, Kirk, put in the chat room, that makes a great bumper sticker. I would tend to agree.
You're going to have to get that printed up. And
I know, that is a great one. But I love what you say too, though, Liz, that it's that close. And, you know, when you kind of stop and think about it, in our decisions, it is that close. It's just a little letter away. You know, it's a consciousness away. It's a little, you know, do we notice something or do we not notice something, you know?
Exactly. It is that close. And it's also that close, I believe, between heaven and earth also, or however anybody wants to understand that, the energies, the universe, the religions, however you want to understand that. And we do understand things differently, so that's okay. That's okay, too. It's not that they're all saying different things so much. A lot of it is the same thing. It's just that the understanding, or how a human takes that in, is different for everybody. We already know that. And how boring it would be if it wasn't. I mean,
yeah.
We certainly don't all want to be the same. But it is that close. Heaven and earth is that close by a thread. And the way you look at something is that close. What's neat about that is you can change it fairly easily if you will look at it differently. So it isn't this huge mountain I have to climb between changing my thought patterns and changing my feelings and changing where I wish to go in life. It is simply realizing, and as my word, noticing, where do you want to go? Who do you want to be? And what do you want? You're allowed to answer those questions.
Good point. Perfect point. I think everybody, re-listen to that. Listen in the archives. I think even just all of it, but even that last piece, Liz, you really summed it up. You're allowed to ask this. We're out of time, Liz.
Oh,
you'll have to come back. You'll have to come back and chat more.
Well, I would love to. And, I mean, it's just been an incredible experience. I thank you very much. It's terrific to listen to you and talk with you. It's just amazing. And thanks to all your listeners, too. I mean, that was great for them to come. Thank you.
Yeah, they make Awakenings what it is. I'm a little co-pilot here, but it's all those that are listening and sharing in the chat room, that sacred path of empowerment room. Well, we have been dialoguing with, chatting with, we've been learning from author Liz Coslin. Transcendental Sojourn is one of her books, and you can connect with her at Liz, COSLINE.com, LIZCOSLIN.com. I thank all of you for creating in this joyful moment of sharing and exploration and joining us in Awakenings and being part of the converging flow. I also want to let you know that coming up next week we have, to talk about the shift actually, with the F, we have the shift in consciousness, the power is in consciousness, with Walter Starkey, amazing, another amazing being. And the following week we have Bob Doyle of The Secret, the author of Wealth Beyond Reason. So February we're moving into inspired living. So we're really going to be talking about, are you getting inspired, how to get inspired, and practically not participating in the recession, getting into that creative mode, allowing yourself to be inspired and spirit-led. So we've got some more great people coming up. I'm just tickled. I'm tickled to be here with all of you, and you all make awakenings what it is. So next time, keep awake, shine your light, share your light, and keep awake.
That's great.
Awakenings airs every Wednesday, 12 to 1, 30 p.m. Pacific. And Friday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Call in, listen in, 347-539-5122. And until next time, shine your light. Keep awake.
Do a great job there, Michelle.